You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am your host, Patrick Kahn. You can follow me on Twitter at PatSportsGuy. We got my man, Big Ten, Ben Stevens, at Ben Scott Stevens on Twitter. He is the host of Locked On Big Ten. I am the host of Locked On Longhorns. And we are bringing you our Friday episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Or maybe it's your sport every day because we're here. We're talking college football. I know Ben's excited to do this. We're gonna take my brand and we're gonna weave it in. We're gonna mix it up with Ben's brand. We're talking Big 12 schedule. Came out on Thursday. Now we know the dates. We're gonna talk about some of the big games, the big matchups, and then we're gonna get into the Big 10 power rankings. And of course, my man Ben, he's gonna break it all down for us. Ben, do you wanna go ahead and get us started with Big 12? We wanna go ahead and start there with the schedule that has been released. I have it in front of me. There's not going to be a whole lot to discuss in terms of huge games early on.
Right.
We're looking at the first big game that I really can tell you is probably not going to happen until, October the 2nd? At TCU, hosting the Texas Longhorns. Can Texas get over the hump and finally beat TCU? New head coach Steve Sarkisian is here. We'll see how that works out. The next week, obviously, in Dallas, 11 a.m. kickoff. We already know the time. We don't even have to look it up. It's the same every single year. 11 a.m. on the Dallas Fairgrounds, Cotton Bowl Stadium, Texas OU in the Red River Rivalry.
Ben, Red River Rivalry.
There we go. Ben's got it. I think when you look at those games, those are, right off the bat, Texas has two big games back-to-back. You look at some of the other teams and look at their schedules. But also, I did forget, and I want to go back a week. The week before Oklahoma has to travel to Dallas, they got to go to Manhattan, Kansas, play Kansas State, a team that's beat them each of the last two seasons. So that's actually going to be a huge game for them. Can they get some of that retribution? Can Spencer Rattler play the way he played down the stretch versus how he played early? So that's going to play a factor. But I think that's a huge game when you look at the early October slate. Especially for Texas, and immediately the next week, no rest for the weary. Texas then has to play Oklahoma State, a team that's given them some trouble over the years. Last year went to overtime in Stillwater. What's interesting is no Chuba Hubbard and no Tylan Wallace. How does Spencer Sanders look in that game? That's really where it starts. October doesn't have a ton of huge matchups outside of that. Maybe October 23rd might be a big one. You have Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Are any of these games, are they doing anything for you?
Yes, some of these games are exciting me. What I'm also very excited by is what we don't see on the conference-only schedule. That was pretty much what we got from the Big 12 conference on Thursday. Are two games that feature two Big Ten teams earlier on before we get to conference play. Of course, the Cy-Hawk Trophy game between Iowa State and Iowa. That should be a top 20, top 15 matchup by the time we get to the second weekend in early September of the 2021 college football season. Oklahoma also renews an old Big 8, Big 12 rivalry against Nebraska. So those should be two really good games coming from my neck of the woods before we get into Big 12 play. But I look at those Oklahoma Sooners, who are, Patrick, as you ranked last week in your power rankings for the Big 12. We will do the power rankings of the Big 10 coming up in the second and third segments. Oklahoma has a pretty daunting start to Big 12 play. On the road at West Virginia, a West Virginia team that you believe will finish right there in the middle of the pack that could do some things depending on the development of Jared Daigie. Kansas State, a team that has gotten the Sooners the last 2 years. Of course, the Cotton Bowl game, the Red River Rivalry against Texas in that third week of Big 12 play for Oklahoma. TCU on the road. Then it gets a little bit easier, but I think Oklahoma's some of their biggest matchups in this Big 12 2021 season, all coming on the road at West Virginia, at TCU, and then that second to last week of the year at Iowa State. So that could be the game that decides who is the Big 12 champion November 20th against the Cyclones. All of those come on the road for Oklahoma. That's pretty difficult. I think they actually have, based on just the where it's slotted in the schedule, one of the harder Big 12 states slates, because Iowa State has Oklahoma at home. They have West Virginia at home. They have Kansas State at home. They have to go on the road to Texas to start off November. But that's probably a little bit more favorable for them than it is for the Sooners. So I do believe that Oklahoma, if they want to win, what, their fifth straight Big 12 championship, whatever it is, they're going to have a pretty tough seventh straight Big 12 championship. That reminds me of like what Ohio State has done in the Big 10.
Right. And it's interesting you brought that up, but I think you had a little mix up when you were reading the schedule, and it's those gray games that they have listed on the schedule. Those are the home games.
Oh my God.
So they get Iowa State at home.
What is that? Why are we doing that? Oh, I can see the key now. Everything I just said for the past 2-3 minutes has been completely wrong. That has never been the case. Every composite schedule, white is home, gray is away.
Big 12 never does anything right. Let me just say that. When they put out their schedules. So you're looking at that, but let's go back over that. You said West Virginia, home game, TCU home game, Texas right. Tech at home, Iowa State at home this year. They went to Ames last year on the road at Kansas State. Of course, the neutral site game in the Red River rivalry against Texas, at Kansas, at Baylor, and then in Bedlam is the final game of the year in Stillwater. That's going to be their huge matchups. Texas, they're going to be on the road against TCU, Baylor, Iowa State, West Virginia. We'll kind of see how that works out for them. That's going to be their huge matchup. You know, it's interesting. You look at Iowa State, their key games are for the most part going to be at home against Oklahoma right. State, against Texas. Their only true hard, I think their hardest road game is going to be when they have to go to Norman, Oklahoma in late November. What's interesting, right. though, Iowa State is returning the most production of any team in the Big 12. In fact, they're top five in the country with 88% of their team returning next season. That's massive. But like you said, the game against Iowa is going to be huge. The game that we didn't get yep. last year because of the COVID-19. Going into November, those are some of the games that we're going to be looking at. Obviously, TCU, Oklahoma State is probably going to be a really good game. You know, you look at West Virginia, Kansas State, that might be a much better matchup. Last week of the season, not a whole lot. I mean, everybody's pretty much looking at Oklahoma State in the final week before we go into the Big 12 Championship. And my only question is, who's playing Oklahoma this year in the Big 12 Championship? Just go ahead, put Oklahoma in the game. We already know. Who are they going to play? Some people think it's Iowa State, and while they do return the most production of any team in the Big 12, I have gone on record as a hater. I am a Cyclone hater. Let me just go ahead and put that out there. I don't got them going back. But let me give you this. Nobody has returned to the Big 12 championship to challenge Oklahoma. You got to go back to the last couple of decades. Go back to 2009, and it was Missouri that challenged. Way back. It was technically 2008, but the game was played 2009. So you have to go all the way back there to find Missouri, Oklahoma as the return matchup. We haven't seen that in over a decade. So I'm seeing a trend. I'm going to go with it. It's not going to be Iowa State. My money is going to be on Texas, and that's not because I'm the Locked On Longhorns podcast host, because if anybody knows me, I grew up as a Red Raider. So I got no dog in the fight.
Right.
Now, if I wanted to be biased, I would say Red Raiders, but I've seen that team. Matt Wells, not happening. Never going to happen. That's where we're at on the schedule, and that's kind of where we're looking at for the upcoming 2021 season. I'm personally excited. I'm interested because I really want to see the Texas Longhorns got to play the number one team on that list of returning production against Louisiana Lafayette. They have the most production returning in all of college football. Check this. They return a blistering 96% of their team. 98% of their defense is returning. So that just tells you. Weren't they the de facto Big 12 champions last year? That's what we called them anyway, because after they beat Iowa State.
Right.
They're a really good team. And so that's where we're looking at there. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to start talking Big 10. We're going to start in the Big 10 West. Well, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know, football's over, But they already got the schedules out. Maybe you want to do a prop bet on that. There's NBA, college basketball, NHL's in full swing. Baseball's right around the corner. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. If you want to bet on who is going to win The Bachelor, they still do that show, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah, you can bet on The Bachelor. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered all the news, scores, odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts.
So some prop bets for maybe college football for betonline.ag. By the way, the Bachelor right now, Matt James, a former college football player at Wake Forest. But we're talking Big 12. We're talking Big 10 today. We have a while to go until the 2021 college football season. Now is a great time to look after your health. And the best way to do that is with Built Bar. Because not only do you get all the health benefits you could possibly need, but you're also enjoying a delicious treat each and every time you have Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is truly a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And that just leveled up because they released one of their new flavors. It is absolutely delicious. They sent it to all the Locked On Podcast Network's hosts. So both Patrick Kahn and I have tried it. It is the Coconut Brownie Chunk new Built Bar. We got a free sample. It was incredible. I love it. I rushed back. I already went to BuiltBar.com and bought myself a new box because Coconut Brownie Chunk is awesome. Dark chocolate, coconut, and real brownie chunks in the bar. It doesn't get any better. It has incredible health benefits for you. It's low in calories. It's high in protein. It has all the good stuff you want and none of the bad stuff in there mixed in. It's a limited time flavor, so get it today. It's going to be gone very, very fast. Again, Coconut Brownie Chunk, the new flavor from Built Bar, is incredible. When you go to BuiltBar.com, you can get the Coconut Brownie Chunk or 18 of their amazing flavors, and you can get a great deal on them when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, we are covering everything you need to know about the Big 10 and the Big 12 conferences today. But what about the rest of the sports world? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with the Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski and has all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. So we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk Big 10 power rankings. Of course, I got my man, Big 10 Ben, with me. We're going to start in the Big 10 West, and here is my proclamation.
Please.
Illinois is going to be bottom, number 7.
Yes.
Okay. I got that one. Yeah. All right. So I'm one for one on this. And we'll get into each and every team. How long do you think it's going to take Illinois to kind of climb the ladder, so to speak, in that West Division? They have a new head coach in Brett Bielema who knows something about offensive line. He obviously from Wisconsin, they like to run the football. He spent some time in Arkansas, didn't go his way. Now back in the Big Ten out there in Champaign. How long do you think it's going to take him to climb the ladder, so to speak, as he tries to get up there so he can challenge the best team in the Big Ten East? And we'll get into that in segment 3 of today's show.
They're never going to challenge Ohio State. Let's just put it out there right now. But it might take a couple of years for Brett Bielema to get his systems in place. He's going to bring bully ball to Champaign, what he had so much success with at Wisconsin, winning 2 Big Ten titles in his time in Madison. Is it going to work at Illinois? It's going to take a little bit of time. He doesn't have the resources or the brand that he had at Wisconsin, but he's already come out and done a great job of recruiting the state of Illinois, which produces great talent. He has made that a part of his program. He has made that a surefire focus. Lovie Smith did a decent job in the recruiting ranks relative to Illinois, but he got that mostly from talent from other areas. He let a lot of guys from Illinois go other places in the Big Ten or outside of the conference. Brett Bielema has focused on the state of Illinois already in his 2+ months on campus in Champaign at the helm of that football program. So it will be improving in a couple of years, but I still think 3 to 4 years for this Illinois team to really take heed in the Big Ten conference. That's why they are number 7 in my power rankings as well. Do you want me to go to number 6? This is where it gets a little dicey in the Big Ten conference.
This is my question on number 6. When you look at number 6, am I going Purdue Boilermakers or am I going Nebraska Cornhuskers at number 6? Because that's kind of where I'm at. I'm leaning Nebraska there, but, you know, this is your area of expertise. I want you to kind of fill me in. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I looking in the wrong direction?
No, it's right between those two teams. I haven't even really decided yet who I have at 5 or 6, but I'm also going to throw another team in there, and that's Minnesota. And Minnesota, although they competed for that Big Ten West title back in 2019, had a very disappointing year in 2020. Of course, that could be due to the crazy pandemic season that the Big Ten and the rest of college football all played. But it was a very big letdown for PJ Fleck. He is a great recruiter. He is bringing in another great recruiting class for Minnesota, but they will lose some production across that offensive line. They're going to lose Tanner Morgan, or maybe Tanner Morgan's coming back with the extra year of eligibility. Rashad Bateman, though, we know the stud wide receiver, is gone. Minnesota does bring back the Big Ten running back of the year in Mohamed Ibrahim. I have them right in the ballpark. It's really a tussle there between Purdue, Nebraska, and Minnesota for those spots four through six in the Big Ten West. Unfortunately, I think I have to give it to the Cornhuskers, and that's mainly because of Nebraska's very difficult schedule that they have to play yet again in 2021. It starts possibly with a trip to Ireland, taking on Illinois. If not, that will be a road game in Champaign. But as we mentioned in the Big 12 season, in their schedule, they play Oklahoma in that third week of the year for Nebraska, and they have a very difficult Big 10 schedule again. In the crossover, they have both Michigan and Ohio State in both of those games on the road. No, those are at home. I can't now the Big 12 has got me all very confused between who's playing who where. That's at home. Both of those games are in Lincoln because the Big 10 did it right. They have the game slotted in white for the Big 10 conference if it's a home game. But some of their toughest games in conference come on the road, at Minnesota, at Wisconsin. So I think it will be difficult for this Nebraska team that has lost a lot. They only have a lot of freshmen and sophomores coming back. What can Scott Frost do in his fourth year? They will need to see some improvement, but how much improvement do we see? I don't know. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Nebraska again in 2021. So then I would go Minnesota at five, and I actually have Purdue at four. And the reason I have Purdue at four is because they have two of the best players in the Big Ten Conference on either side of the ball. They have David Bell, their stud wide receiver, returning for another year. He should be more in tune with Jack Plummer, who will be the quarterback maybe, or we could even see Aiden O'Connell again for Purdue, who started off the year so strong and then he got injured. So maybe he's back with David Bell. And they also have George Karloftis on the defensive side of the ball for Purdue. So I have Purdue at four, Nebraska at six, Minnesota at five, rather. That's how I see it for the middle pack of the Big Ten West.
So we're going to move on to the number three spot, and we got three candidates here. Where do you see Northwestern? I know losing Ramsey is going to be huge for them. How do they replace him as the quarterback? I know that they've won the Big Ten West in two out of the last three seasons. Are they going to be enough to be near the top again to challenge whoever comes out of the East, which we pretty much believe it's going to be Ohio State until proven otherwise?
It is.
Is it Northwestern here? Is it Iowa? Or are you going Wisconsin in the three spot? I kind of like Wisconsin a lot higher. I think they're going to be really good. So where am I going number three here?
Spoiler alert, Wisconsin will be my favorite to win the Big Ten West. We can slot them into that number one spot, and I think they have a very favorable Big Ten West schedule. I have Northwestern in my number three slot. Although they are the Big Ten West champions two of the past 3 years, they do lose Peyton Ramsey. He was a grad transfer, only there for 1 year. They did the same thing again, getting Ryan Helinski from South Carolina. My main concern, though, is the defensive side of the ball for the Wildcats, one of the best defenses in the entire country in 2020. They will lose the staple of that defense, in my opinion, in Patty Fisher, Chris Bergen, and Blake Gallagher. There's a couple confusing things, of course, because of the COVID-19 pandemic in the rules as it relates to eligibility, but I expect all of those guys probably gone, maybe just out of campus there in Evanston. That will be a huge portion of what Northwestern was able to rely on. They will have a stingy defense again. They will continue to be that pesky thorn in the side for a lot of their opponents in the Big Ten Conference. But I have Northwestern in that three spot. We have Wisconsin at number one, which means we have Iowa, the second best team in my Big Ten West power rankings. Iowa returns a lot. They have a lot coming back offensively, including their quarterback, Spencer Petras, that needed some time to be broken in this past season. Started to find a little bit of a rhythm. Now he has a full offseason to take advantage of that Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz system once again. And they have Tyler Goodson, one of the best running backs in the Big Ten Conference, coming back as well. They had a lot of inexperience on that defensive side of the ball in 2020. They all gained Big Ten experience and will have that to the table when we get to the 2021 Big Ten football season. So I have Iowa number two, and then, of course, Wisconsin at one. The main reason I have Wisconsin over their competitors like Iowa and Northwestern is because of a very favorable Big Ten West schedule for the Badgers. Iowa, Northwestern, and Nebraska all at home. Their road tests in the Big Ten West are at Illinois, at Purdue, and at Minnesota, all teams that are towards the bottom half of the Big Ten West division, in my opinion. I think Wisconsin gets back to where they've been multiple times, and they have Graham Mertz coming back, the talented redshirt freshman quarterback now back for another year, his full offseason. They return Jalen Berger, the running back as well. You know what Wisconsin's going to do. They will be just fine in 2021. I think they are my favorite to win the Big Ten West as it stands right now.
As it stands right now, my locked on lock is Wisconsin's winning the West. That's where it is. I'm a big fan of Berger at the running back position. You know me, I'm a running back enthusiast. And anytime that looking for a running back at the college level, I start at Wisconsin. I'm like, who do they got? Because that's the guy I'm going to keep my eye on as the season progresses. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin there as well. All right, but coming up next, we're going to get into the East. We're going to be talking Ohio State. We're going to talk Michigan. Can Harbaugh finally get over the hump and beat Ohio State? Spoiler alert, that's no. But we're going to get into that next. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible to get every part you need at a traditional storefront. And I don't know about you, Ben. I don't like standing there talking to the guy at the counter. And he's only going to bring up the stuff that they carry, that they have a contract for. And I know it's not going to save me any money whatsoever because I do not work in an auto play store where I am not a mechanic. So I'm not going to get all the bonuses that they might get or the discounts. But that's the great thing is I can go to rockauto.com. On my computer right there on my phone, pull it out, go to rockauto.com. They got everything you need, affordable pricing. And I get all the extra, I get the same price that everybody's paying. The mechanic down the street that works at the garage, I get the same price he's getting, and I think it's fantastic because I can save some money, and I can use it elsewhere. Maybe I'm going to go to betonline.ag. But definitely going to check it out. Go to rockauto.com. And Ben, isn't that where you go whenever you need to get parts for your car or truck or SUV?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. RockAuto.com has convenient self-service. And I know, like you, Patrick, the prices are always going to be reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. It makes me feel good. I'm getting the best price for whatever I need for my car or my truck. When you go to RockAuto.com, it gets even better when you write in Locked On, L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N, L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. Patrick, you heard the jingle for the first time last weekend. Here we are again. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, RockAuto.com.
Well, we may not have football to talk about, but betting on college basketball, the NBA, NHL, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. All right, so we teased it before the break. Now we're going to get into it. We're talking Big Ten East. Who's going to be playing Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game? But we're going to start at the bottom. We're going to work our way up. That's the way we're going to do it. Like we did last time, we're going to start at number seven. I'm going out on a limb and saying Rutgers football is number seven. I'm not sold that Greg Schiano's got them right where they need to be just yet. He's still dealing with some of the stuff that went on during the Chris Ash administration. So for me, looking at the Scarlet Knights, they surprised us with a couple of games last year. Where do we start with Rutgers at number seven? Who's our returning guy that you really got to watch this year for Rutgers?
Rutgers will be number seven. I think returning for them, Johnny Langan, a guy that was a feature Taysom Hill type player in that offense for Rutgers this past year. He can really do it as a quarterback. He can do it in the run game as well. Johnny Langan is a guy that I really love this year in Big Ten football. I think he'll be back and will do some good things for that Rutgers team, but I do have them at number seven in my Big Ten East power rankings. Just above them right now, though, and this might shock some people that are used to seeing the Big Ten in its glory days and have been used to the 2000s and the early aughts and the early 2010s, but Michigan State in the second year of Mel Tucker, I still believe they will be just a notch above Rutgers, number there six in my Big Ten East power rankings. They have some things coming back. They need to figure out their quarterback position. They have a transfer coming from Temple, who has a very Italian last name that I can't remember at the moment, but he will most likely be their starter in East Lansing. The defense did some things. They lose their big guy, Antoine Simmons, though. He's going to the NFL draft. So Michigan State still trying to figure it out in Mel Tucker's system. He's a good recruiter. There's a couple recruiting classes away from, I think, being truly competitive in the Big Ten East, getting back to where Spartans fans expect. But I have them number six in my Big Ten East power rankings. Maryland is number five because they have so much talent on that roster. They had a lot of talent this past year from Mike Locksley. They have even more in the recruiting classes they're bringing in. They finished top 25 in this most recent recruiting class that will be on campus this fall. Maryland has a lot of talent. Can they put the pieces together? They have a difficult schedule. They have West Virginia in their season opener, but at home. They have Ohio State on the road, but they have Indiana, Penn State, and Michigan all at home this year. If you can knock off one of those big three teams that I see in the Big Ten East that try to compete with Ohio State, Maryland might have an opportunity to have a splash, cause some ruckus in the Big Ten East Conference. I have them at 5, Michigan State at 6, and then Rutgers at 7.
It's interesting. Two questions. First question is, did you know that Maryland has the most returning production of any Big Ten school at 85%, top 10 in the country? So Maryland returning a lot. So you're getting an experienced football team. So for that reason, I agree with you above Michigan State. But my question is Harbaugh finally going to beat Michigan State this year?
That's a big question, right? He has struggled, as everybody knows, against Ohio State. But he has not really played well against Michigan State either. There was a stat last year that he is like 1-something against these teams, both Michigan State and Ohio State, the two biggest rival for the
Wolverines. 1-7.
Yeah, I think so, something like that. Jim Harbaugh has struggled. Will they beat Michigan State? They're going to be favored to again, but will they do it? Who knows? Nobody expected Michigan State to upset Michigan in week 2 of the Big Ten football season this past year after Michigan throttled Minnesota in their season opener. Michigan State lost to Rutgers. It was Rutgers' first ever Big Ten win in 21 games. And then to have that happen the next week for the Spartans to pull off that upset, that was their Super Bowl. That's something they can rely on. That's something the program can build around. So could it happen again? Yeah. Because as I see the top half of my Big Ten East power rankings, Ohio State is at number one, of course. Ohio State is number one across the entire Big Ten conference. The Buckeyes will be there until somebody proves to me they cannot be. But Ohio State will be there. I think C.J. Stroud will come in. He'll play just fine. Maybe he's not to the level of Justin Fields, but they have enough talent around him that he will be fine. Master Teague is back. Chris Olave is back. Garrett Wilson is back. The offensive line will be good as well. And on the defensive side of the ball, they will gain a lot of experience having guys like Haskell Garrett come back. Tyreek Smith is coming back. Ohio State is going to be locked and loaded. So they are at number one. So how do 2 through 4 rank out in my Big Ten power rankings? This is where there might be some conversation in my mind. At number 4, I have Michigan. The reason I have Michigan is because there is more unproven about this Jim Harbaugh team than there is about the talent level of Penn State. I have Penn State at number 3, Michigan at 4, which might be like, oh, who's at number 2? That's right. The Indiana Hoosiers, the team that shocked all of college football this past year, shocked the Big Ten, had one of their best years in program history, should have been in a New Year's Six Bowl, but we can get to that another day. Indiana at number 2. The reason I have Michigan at 4 is because they still have a lot of inexperience across that roster, which was going to be the case in 2020. We saw it towards the end of the year. That secondary got shredded. They do have some talent back there, like Daxton Hill, a former 5-star recruit. But can they put it all together, and who's going to be the quarterback? Joe Milton was supposed to be Cam Newton. He was not. Cade McNamara came in. He dealt with some injuries. Could it be J.J. McCarthy, the number 2 overall quarterback in this most recent recruiting class coming on campus? Could he be a 3-year starter, much like we saw with Trevor Lawrence and Clemson? Maybe. They also have Donovan Edwards, one of the most talented running backs in this most recent recruiting class as well, coming to Ann Arbor. Can they factor in early on in their careers in Ann Arbor? Possibly, but there's still a lot of question marks about this Michigan team. Can Jim Harbaugh go and knock off Ohio State? No, it's not going to happen this year. Can he get back and have a winning season of 8-9 wins? Possibly. I think Michigan has that opportunity. They also have a very difficult schedule. The good thing for them is they have Ohio State at home. They have Indiana at home, but their crossovers are tough when you look at the West. They have both Wisconsin and Northwestern. That Wisconsin game on the road, week 5 of the 2021 college football season. So that means I have Penn State at number 3. Penn State has a lot of talent coming back. They have Sean Clifford coming back. Are we going to see sophomore year Sean Clifford? Or are we going to see junior year Sean Clifford? That was, frankly, a flat-out disappointment. He did not take the leap we expected them to. Penn State, remember, Patrick, was a top 10 ranked team at the start of the 2020 college football season. They get upset by Indiana, and it really got the train off the tracks pretty early on. They have a new offensive coordinator in Mike Yurcich, who you know a lot about. Can he have a system that is more accustomed to what we've been seeing out of Sean Clifford? It didn't work for Kirk Ciarrocca. Can it work this year? Penn State has so much talent, probably just a little bit less talent than Michigan and Ohio State, but they have the more experience coming back. That's why I have them at 3. And Indiana is at number 2 because what Tom Allen is doing in Bloomington is repeatable, and it's sustainable, in my opinion. And they have a lot of talent returning. If Michael Penix Jr. is coming back and he's healthy, they have a lot of talent. Ty Freifogel is back. They will have some talent on the offensive side of the ball and defensively, which was their staple and their calling card in 2020. That will be back in 2021. A new defensive coordinator in Charlton Warren taking over for Kane Womack, who's now the head coach at South Alabama. But I think Indiana is number two. And then, of course, like I mentioned, Ohio State's one until somebody knocks off the Buckeyes. It's not going to happen this year. I still think we'll get Ohio State and Wisconsin in Indianapolis in the Big Ten title game in early December. I still think Ohio State will win that game, be the Big Ten champions, and be playing in the college football playoff by the time we get to the end of December.
You know, I think it's interesting. I've been bringing up returning production because I think it's important, right? Ohio State has the 121st ranked returning production next season. They returned 50% of their team, 55% on offense, which is the 99th ranked returning production in all of college football, and 44%, which is 119th overall, on the defensive side of the ball. If there was ever a year for one of these teams to jump up and catch Ohio State, this is going to be the year, but this is not going to be the year. Ohio State, number one. I got Ohio State versus Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game in 2021, and I think my man, Big Ten Ben Stevens right here, he's going to tell you the same thing, right?
Yeah.
You're with me. I learned everything about Big Ten from you, so I'm following your lead here. I'm going with those two. Those are my locks, my locked on lock of the week. I'm going with that in the Big Ten championship. But we want to hear from you. Who do you have in the Big Ten? Who's your surprise team? Ben, we didn't even get to it, but before we get out of here, who is your surprise team? Who's going to be the team that's going to jump up this year and surprise a lot of people? Indiana caught everybody by surprise last year. Who's the team I need to circle this year around?
I think Indiana doing it back-to-back seasons would surprise a lot of people in the Big Ten who probably still think of 2020 as a flash in the pan, even though they won eight games in 2019. I think the team that has the potential to do that, can they get all the way to knocking off of Wisconsin and taking the top seed of the Big Ten West, is Purdue. I don't know if Purdue can be the number one team out of the Big Ten West division when all is said and done, but they have that potential. Like I mentioned, one of the best receivers in all of college football in David Bell, and they have a very prolific offense run by Jeff Brohm, who is a quarterback whisperer guru of sorts. Can they have that production back in a defense that really struggled in Bob Diaco, who's no longer there because Bob Diaco should not be a defensive coordinator in college football. I'm just saying that right now. But they have one of the best edge rushers in the conference in George Karloftis. They have the ability, they have pieces in place to be a surprising team in the Big Ten West. For me, though, I think the old guard will be good. Wisconsin had a very down year last year, so for them to get back to where they're accustomed to being at the top of the Big Ten West would, I guess you could say, shock people. It's not going to shock anybody. Wisconsin's going to do what they do. They'll be the team coming out of the Big Ten West. Ohio State, of course, will be the team coming out of the Big Ten East. Sure, they only have, what, 50% of their returning production, like you mentioned, 55, whatever it was. The 45 that didn't play are still some of the best players in college football and in the Big Ten Conference. So Ohio State will be just fine. This would be a year with a new starting quarterback coming in with C.J. Stroud that maybe you could knock them off. I think he's going to do great things for them and really have a spectacular season for Ohio State. Ohio State out of the Big Ten East, Wisconsin out of the Big Ten West, like Patrick Kahn of Locked On Longhorns. Lock that in for me as my Locked On Locks for the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, go ahead and put down Chris Olave winning the Biletnikoff this next year. I think C.J. Stroud and him, they're going to be tossing it all over. You know, I think it's fantastic, and I'm glad that I get – when I tune into Ohio State, I know I'm going to get to watch some players out of the state of Texas. So that's kind of fun for me to see that because I am from Texas, so I get to see that a lot. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast. That's my man right there, Big Ten Ben Stevens. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, checking out the Locked On Big Ten Podcast each and every day, Monday through Friday. He's going to get you covered. He's got hoops to talk about, recruiting to talk about. There's so much to talk about right now. I mean, you got to overview everything. And if that's not enough and you want to get your fix on Longhorns, head on over to the Locked On Longhorns Podcast where we're talking Texas basketball, Steve Sarkisian, everything that's going on. You got to check it out. We had an interview with former Longhorn Brian Arakpo, and he talked about Blake Gideon coming to the staff. He talked about what he thinks of Steve Sarkisian. Definitely got to check it out. Locked On Longhorns Podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, that's going to do it for us. Enjoy your sports this weekend.